powers semantic games with the notion nation state, as ultimately our all powers moves are in response to our onward pressure to be free. I've argued that the technology and the necessary strategy for us to succeed leads to the distributed generation of our power, our earth-given power. Now, power, the would-be philosopher king, sees this, and so wants to develop more nimble control mechanisms. So it's floating this notion of regions being where the smart people want to be, which is what we see in China, by the way, which is interesting. Power does not want us to unify because they know it's only by us unifying globally that we can reclaim our earth, including the earth that is our bodies. And the division between mental and manual labor is in fact a version of hierarchy, of the notion of a citizen-barbarian divide, the notion that we will have to make our state the best and our allegiance automatically gets shifted to with the so-called philosopher kings, that it is only from seeing from the vantage of the whole and probably flipping it, what we've been told, that we begin to develop the hope, the conversations, the thoughts that will rapidly, once they start in a big way, move us on to our future. But if there's time, there is an article that I was hoping to talk about this issue of nation state, written by a woman. Her name is He Qinglian, and we talked about her back in December. She wrote an article back then called Why the Chinese Communist Party Defies Democracy. And back then I said that I wish she would go deeper into why she's so certain that the Chinese regime will fall. And in this article, what I found interesting, in the February 14 to 20, 2013 Epic Times, there's an article of hers called Hoping for a Gorbachev in Today's China. And if there's time, Dewey, I'm going to go through this because she is comparing, she's saying, okay, the Soviet Union fell and China is actually in a much worse position than the Soviet Union was. She's writing, quote, the Soviet economic system had abundant domestic resources, a low unemployment rate, but today's China is plagued by a lack of natural resources, high unemployment, over 100 million farmers don't have land, tens of millions of city dwellers are unemployed. The profits from economic reform were depleted during the 10-year rule of Hu and Wen. And so she's saying, under such circumstances, only the Chinese Communist Party's political gangsters would reject political reform. And yet she's arguing that they will, that they believe in the power of the military and that it is big enough to suppress enormous resistance. And what I find interesting is that they have this decentralized strategy, these regions that have quite a lot of independent power, and it's a management technique that I think power overall is looking to try to implement globally, that to keep us narrowly focused so that we can't see from the perspective of the whole. And the other thing that's interesting about this article, I don't know if we'll get a chance to talk about it, I've been thinking a lot about this, about when do we give ourselves permission to move on? There was an article not too long ago looking at the Emancipation Proclamation and the fact that literally overnight, the universe changed. You know, Lincoln signed up some papers and the world changed. And that was authority giving permission for our brothers and sisters in chains to walk away. Done. I'm walking away. And she notes something similar about the fall of the Soviet Union. What's interesting is that, I'll just read the first paragraph, quote, observers have long concluded from the new Chinese Communist Party leader's tour to the South late last year that Xi Jinping is following Deng Xiaoping's heritage. However, the official media reports on Xi's southern tour speech was abridged. Xi's complete speech surfaced recently online and disappointed many reformers. He made a noteworthy comment regarding the collapse of the Soviet Union. Quote, this is quoting Xi. In the end, Gorbachev whispered a few words and the Communist Party of the Soviet Union collapsed. A huge party was gone, just like that. The Soviet Union had more party members than us, the Chinese Communist Party. However, no one was a real man to take a stand and fight. Unquote. And then she says, the phrase, no one was a real man, was coined by Lady Hua Rui, a poet and concubine of an emperor who lost his empire after the fall of the Tang Dynasty, A.D. 907 to 960.